I wouldn't trade you tonight. All the music in most of the churches that call themselves independent Baptist churches, I wouldn't give one of these young ladies up for all that music. Let me tell you something. Don't ever be ashamed of the old-time religion and good, solid Christian music. And I tell you what, you got something here that most churches don't have. And I thank you for staying true to the old-time religion. I do not ever remember, ever, asking the preacher if he was an idiot. He said I did. I don't ever remember asking him if he was an idiot. I want you to know that. No need to ask him now. I already know. So, so at any rate, well, I want to behave tonight. And first off, I want to thank you on behalf of Mrs. Burwell and myself for the nice hotel room. I went down to the clerk this morning. I may have told you this in the morning service. Went down to the desk, and I told them, I said, look, I've got a complaint. And they said, what's wrong? And I said, it was so quiet last night, I got a good night's sleep. And they said, we like those kind of complaints. Thank you for the beautiful hotel room that you gave us, for the money that was there, some spending money for us, and for the love offering, for the great lunch that we had at Pastor Arcan's and my daughter Amber. I heard on the internet, I don't know, it may have been before I came last time to preach, but I heard on the internet, we were sick or something, weren't able to get to church, and I heard preachers say that pray for him because that we were coming to his house or something. And so I hope you prayed for me today because I did go to his house. And I needed your prayers. Thank you so much for staying true to the old-time religion, and most of all for allowing us, Mrs. Burwell and myself, to feel like we're part of your church family. And we feel very, very welcome and very at home here. This is an oasis in the midst of a desert when you travel and go different places and see so many churches changing. So thank you so much for what you've done for us. We went to preacher's house today, and we had a nice meal, and then Amber brought out her famous homemade apple pie. That homemade means that she got it right out of the box by herself and shoved it in the oven. And I couldn't help but think about when we pastored. Miss Burwell and I have been married for, this will be 56 years coming up. And I have pastored, preached and all for 56 years. And, and I can remember when we first left the pastorate, 36 years, God called us into evangelism. I won't get into why, but there were some reasons I felt like I was not able to pastor the people like I needed to, just memory things and all. And, you know, when you go up to somebody that's been a member of your church for 12 years and you think they're a visitor, you got a problem. So we decided we weren't going to quit. We weren't going to give up on God. We're going to keep on serving some way, somehow. And the Lord led us into evangelism. And to be very honest with you, preacher, that was like a load off my shoulders. I just felt a burden lifted. I thought, man, all these problems that you have in the ministry when you're a pastor. You say, well, what are all the problems you have? You and you and you and you and you and you. And so I thought, boy, we got her made now. And all we got, we go preach. If we want us to say whatever we want, and then we leave it with the pastor, he'll have to fix it when we leave. And and so I thought our problems were over. But what happened was I realized that when you're in evangelism, you have a whole new set of problems. And one of the things we faced right away was when you go preach in different churches, people will go home and cook something and bring it to you and give it to you to take to your motel to eat. And to be very frank with you, a lot of times it's terrible. And so it got to the place to where, because, you know, you Sunday morning, they bring you something, you go to your motel, you throw it in the trash, you know, and... Sunday night, they come back and they say, "How'd you like my pie?" I thought about this because your apple pie. No, I don't mean it was bad. All right, hold it. I feel like I'm losing control. So and then they come back Sunday night and they say, "How'd you like it?" Well, I can't lie. I'm a Christian. So what do you do? And I was in a meeting one time and heard another evangelist preach, and he said he had the very same problem. And he said, when we were growing up, he said, my brother and I almost starved to death because my mom was a terrible cook. We couldn't eat half of what she made. And he said, I didn't know God would help me use that to help me in the ministry as an evangelist. He said, but what I do is whenever someone brings me something to eat and I take it to the motel and it's terrible, we got to throw it. He said, when I go back and they ask me how I liked it, I just say, oh, that's just like Mama used to make. And now I couldn't do that because my mother was a good cook. She was Italian. She was a good cook. But then he said this, and this is what we've done now through the years. Somebody will bring a pie to take to the motel. So you take it to the motel and you put it on the table and you cut a piece for yourself and you cut a piece for your wife. You give her a piece and you take a piece and you start to pray and start to eat it and you spit it out. It is so bad. It tastes like kerosene. And you spit it out. And then you go to church. You get your waste paper basket and put it there and sweep it all in the trash basket. Go to church Sunday night and here comes this lady running up. How did you like my pie? How did you like my pie? And this is great. This works so well. I just look at her and say, ma'am, let me put it this way. Food like that doesn't last long at our place. So it's a whole new set of problems that we go through. Well, I believe it or not, preacher, I was going to tell the folk tonight, and you just did, that back in the old days, man, we'd have Brother Arcan, we have Brother Tester, and we'd have Brother Dave Sonk, had a bunch of preacher boys, and I tried to let them preach every opportunity I could because I wanted them to get to preach. And he'd come, boy, he'd preach and scream and holler, and I tell you what, and I don't know how you got, but he did. He got the name. They called him Mad Dog Arcan. Now, I don't know if that'll take here or not in the next few months, but at any rate, Mad Dog Arcan. So thank the Lord for him. I'm excited for what's going on here. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, please, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now, I made a mistake. I made a mistake this morning. I was supposed to let you out at 12, okay? And I got into the thing, and I went way over, and I did not let you out at 12 like I should have. So I want you to know that tonight, I promise you, I will let you out by 12, okay? So you'll be out of here by 12 o'clock, I promise. Take your Bible, if you will. I'm going to reread the Scripture, and I would like you to stand with me, if you will. And then I've got a short message tonight. I want to try to be a help. I said this in the morning service. What God does for this church in the next 22 years will have a lot to do with how at this moment, tonight, this day, you treat the last 22 years that have already gone by. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by that here in a little bit. But I'm going to talk to you about what I think is the most dangerous thing that you face as you enter into the next 22 years. And I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say as we go tonight. So let me begin reading. Verse number 5, I'm going to see if I've got any water left in this cup. May I put it here? Okay. All right. Beginning at verse number 5, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, here's what it says. Listen carefully now to the words. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, now here's what I want you to see. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. I'm thinking about the last 22 years and how God has blessed. When thou hast eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. Don't forget to thank God for what you have. Don't forget to thank God for what you have. Father, thank you today for the privilege of being in your house. We couldn't have asked for anything greater than for that young man to come to know you as Savior. And Father, I thank you for that. That's what it's all about. That's what you have left us here to do. And Father, we realize that in the church that we learn to live for you, and we learn to serve you, and we learn to have the right attitudes, and we learn to do the right things. But dear God, we know that the church house, a place where the pastor teaches us and builds us up in the faith and causes us to have standards and all these many things so that we can use these things to win people to Christ and keep folk out of hell. And I pray that you might bless tonight as we once again, I pray that you would visit this church. I pray that you'd be in every seat. I pray that you'd speak to every heart. And I pray that we might not even dare to go on into the future, lest we have first taken time in a genuine way to say thank you, God, for what you've done for us in these past years. And I pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God was telling his people that as he had delivered them out of the land of bondage and out of Egypt, that he would soon deliver them again into the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. He said, now when I do that, when I deliver you into the land of promise, he said, when I do that, I'm going to give you some wonderful things. He said, I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build, places to live that you did not build. He said, I'm going to give you houses full of good things that you didn't fill. I'm going to give you wells to drink from that you didn't dig. And I'm going to give you vineyards to eat from that you didn't plant. Now God was saying this to his people. When I give you all of that, and you eat, and you drink, and you enjoy, and you look around you, and you see all that I have done. And by the way, God's the one that's done what's gotten. He's used you for a tool, but God's the one who's given you what you have tonight. He said, when I look around, and you look around, and you see all that I have done, and then God stops and says, beware. Don't jump so quick. Man, I about jumped out of his wheelchair. I thought I was going to do an Oral Roberts, and you'd be running around here in a minute. He said, when you look around you and you see all that I have done for you, then beware. He didn't say, beware about what you do in the future or beware how you handle the things that are going to happen in the future. He said, beware lest you forget what he has done for us. You let me tell you something tonight. The greatest way to get God's blessing on the next 22 years is to realize how good God has been the last 22 years and trust God and bless God and thank God for what he's done in your life. Listen, some of you have been here for a long time. Some of you are little kids and you grow up, you're teenagers now, young adults today. And God has, listen, your lives are lives that are being lived for God. Why? Because God has done some good things in your life to help you to head down the right trail and be what he wants you to be. So he said, beware lest when you have eaten and you have drunk, and you look around and you see all I've done for you, beware, he said, that you forget the Lord that gave these things to you. Now, what was he saying to his people? He was saying, I'm going to bless you more than you deserve to be blessed. He said, I'm going to give to you more than you deserve to have. He said, all I ask in return is that you don't forget to thank me for what I've done. We Christians are like God's people back in the Bible. God has been good to us. God has given to us more than we deserve. And yet so often we forget, we take it for granted, we forget to thank God for what he has done for us. Now I want to give you three things tonight. Does that excite you? I'm not going to give you nine things tonight. I've watched on the internet, he's giving you 27 things one night. I'm going to give you three things in a short message tonight. I want to try to be a help. I'm not trying to preach a good message. I want you to understand that it is important that we stop and genuinely thank God for what he has done all around us in our lives. So I'll give you three things. Number one, don't forget to thank God for your greatest spiritual blessing. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 12. In verse number 12, the Lord said, beware, this is chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. He said, beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That is talking in our day, that is talking about a God who has saved us and brought us out from under the bondage of sin and out from under the hand of Satan and has given us a new master and a new life that we can live in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. How many of you are saved? Hold your hand up if you've trusted the Lord and you're saved. All right, that's most everybody that's here tonight. The greatest thing that we have to be thankful for is our salvation. You mark that down. I'm not talking about our Christian life. I'm not talking about how good God's been to give us a good church and a good all the rest. I'm saying the number one best thing God has ever done for you is when he saved your soul from hell, and the Bible says that our salvation is our greatest spiritual gift. In verse 12, he brought us out of Egypt and out from under the bondage of the devil. You were on your way to hell. Do you understand that? You were on your way. That young man that got saved today was on his way to hell. You were on your way to hell. And the Bible says your destiny was to die and to drop off into hell and to burn for all eternity. And by the way, it wouldn't hurt if we had some preachers again that would start preaching on hell and saying what hell's all about and what the reality of hell. But I'm going to tell you something. We're on our way to hell. But Jesus changed all that when he saved you. I'll tell you about my salvation story. I don't know if I've ever told you before. And by the way, I'm going to say this. If preacher, and I say this everywhere I go. When I leave, if I say something and preacher says to you, forget about what Burwell said, that wasn't right. You listen to him. He's your pastor. He's your man of God. You listen to him. But I'm going to tell you something. I get a little bit weary about how hard we make salvation. I get a little bit weary about the fact somebody gets saved, and if they're not back in church, or they don't give up their alcohol that same day, or whatever it is, they must not have got saved. You let me tell you something. The lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ is separate from the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, you can't make him your Lord anyway till you get saved. But salvation is God coming along, and we realize we're lost on our way to hell. And so we ask God sincerely to come into our heart. And listen, I don't care if you get a feeling or you don't get a feeling. Brother, salvation not based on how you feel. It's based on what God said that he would do if we'd obey him. Now, I got saved, I know, when I was a teenager. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't remember one drop of what happened, preacher. Not a drop. The only thing I know is my life was changed back then. I can't remember going into the building. I'll tell you the story how I got saved. I fell in LUV. That's real love. I met Mrs. Burwell when I was in school. We went to school together, and when I met her, I fell in LUV. The first time I saw her, I said to my buddy, Brother Eli, I said to my buddy, we were in art class in school. And I said to my buddy, I said, I am going to marry that girl. I knew I was going to marry her. God knew I was going to marry her. The only problem we was having is she didn't know I was going to marry her. I wanted to be around her. She worked at a little place called El Rancho Restaurant. Back in the days when you could pull your car up and they'd bring your food out to the curb. And she was working El Rancho Restaurant. And I wanted to get to be around her, so I would go to El Rancho Restaurant and I'd sit in there for hours just to be where she was. I would have liked to have gone to her home, but I couldn't go to her home to see her because her father didn't like me. Why are you laughing? Her father did not like me. I had two things about her father. Number one, he didn't like me, and number two, he did own a shotgun. I decided one day, because I was so in love, I decided I am going to go right to her house, pull right up to their old country house, two or three rooms, an old porch and a wooden screen door. And I said, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm talking to her dad. I drove to her house, pulled up right in front of the porch, right up to the porch. I said to myself, I'm going right up there and knock on that door. Before I had a chance to get out of my car, that screen door busted open. And he came out with a shotgun and pointed right at my windshield. Now, that was not a good day for me. But you can always get something good out of the worst of things. I mean, I can give you an example. That day was the first time that I ever knew that a car will go as fast in reverse as it does, as it will in forward. And so I went to El Rancho Restaurant because I wanted to be around her. And Joe Piccioni, you remember Joe Piccioni, was a good guy. He wasn't saved, but he was just a nice guy. But he was a money guy. And Mrs. Burwell always felt sorry for the customer because she didn't think the customer got enough onion rings or enough whipped cream on their Sunday, whatever. And Joe used to say to her all the time, Charlotte, don't put so much whipped cream. You're costing me money. Don't put so much ice cream. And I was sitting there one evening, and she went back to make a Sunday for somebody. And she made a big Sunday. And Joe saw it, and he said, Charlotte, I told you, don't put that. And I was what, 60, 17, 18? I don't know how old I was. I was a teenager. And I was just like very muscular. Why do you keep laughing? I was one of those know-it-all teenagers, you know. He started hollering to her, and I said, hey, buddy. You don't holler at her. And he looked at me and he said, pointed at the door and said, get out of my restaurant. And I said, let me tell you something. I don't leave this restaurant unless she says leave. I looked at Miss Burwell and she said, get out of this restaurant. And I'll never forget this. I looked at the two of them and I said, you know what? I don't need either one of you. I got plenty of people want to be with me. I went out, slammed the door, got in my car, and I sat in the parking lot for 30 minutes trying to figure out somebody that might want me. I remembered a little redheaded preacher. I went down to his church once or twice because she and her mom, they were saved. They went down there to church all the time. So I'd go down to get to see her. And I remembered him. He acted like he liked me. I got my car. I drove down. I can't tell you hardly any of it now, but I went down. I ended up going into the church building. I don't know if they were having a service or if he just began to talk to me. I'm not sure how it happened, but I know that day I got saved. I went into that church building as lost as a hound dog, and I came out a child of God, and I knew something had changed in my life. I felt something had happened to me. And from that moment on, And I know I'm a nobody. And I tell you, I know I'm a nobody. But from that moment on, I was different than I was before I'd gone into that church house. And from that moment on, I began to serve the Lord. Now, you let me tell you something. We've had, Pastor and I and others have had great things happen in our lives. But there's nothing that's ever happened to any of us that's any greater than the salvation that God gave us so that we can miss hell and go to heaven one of these days when we died. And I'll tell you this, I know it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to realize it. Nobody's come back and told us, hey, I was there and I saw it. Everything about heaven and everything about salvation is found in this book right here. You either take it by faith or you don't get it at all. It's by trusting what God said in His Word. Hey, you ought to thank God, first off. And I'm talking about the church-wide, but I'm talking about starting as an individual. Thank God for the greatest spiritual blessing He's ever given in your life. Let me give you a second thing. I only have three. Number two. Number one, don't forget to thank God for the greatest spiritual blessing that He's ever given you. Number two, don't forget to thank God for your tangible blessings. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 10. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land." Now we're saved, and now we're moving into the Christian life. And I want to tell you something. You serve God and do what you're supposed to do, and I'll promise you, based on the authority of the Word of God, God will take care of you. God will supply your needs. God will put a joy in your heart. God will help you in every area you need help if you will serve Him. "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee," here it is, "great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." He's talking about our tangible blessings. Do you understand that no Christian can ever be successful in your Christian life without God's help? You can't do it yourself. You have got to have God's help if you're going to be successful in your Christian life. Rather you know it or not, you need God. And by the way, I'll say this, saved or unsaved, you can't make it without God anyway. Unless you've got God's air to breathe, you can't make it. Unless you've got God's food to eat, you're not going to make it. You're only going to last so long. But Christians are not going to make it beyond those things and be successful without God's help. And whether you know it or not, you need God. Amen. That young man that got saved today didn't know it, but he needed God. And once you find the Lord in salvation, you need God if you're going to be successful and have your needs met. That's why, see, preachers didn't start saying, God wants to take care of us. It's almost like He's a father. Maybe He's our heavenly Father. That's not how it happened. God's the one in His holy word who said, "I'll be a father unto them, and they'll be my sons and my daughters." You listen to me. God wants us to look at Him and receive Him as our Father and allow Him to do what a father wants to do for his children. God wants to take care of your needs. Paul said this in Philippians 4:19. You could quote it. He said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches by Christ Jesus." Now, he said this, "My God," and you know this, I'm sure, "My God shall supply all your NED singular." He didn't say He's going to provide all your needs. He didn't say He's going to provide pay for your bills. He didn't say He's going to make sure you got food. He didn't say He's going to make sure your kids turn. He didn't say that. He didn't say your needs. He said, "My God shall supply all your need." Now, why did He say need? Why is it singular? I'll tell you why I think it's singular. because God knew that the only thing any of us ever need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you get Jesus, every need you could ever have will be supplied, because He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And He can take care of everything you need. That's why we put Jesus first, to get our needs met. Now, so here's what God did. He enumerated to His people what He would do for them tangibly. Now, here's what He said, and I want to bring it down to where we are. Here's what He said. He said to His people, I'm going to give you goodly cities you didn't build. Now, goodly cities in the Bible, there were cities that were not goodly cities where it was not safe. Goodly cities were cities where it was safe for the people to be. God has given us some places of safety. Do you understand that the house of God, if it's the right house of God and the right kind of a house of God, is a place of safety? I'm not saying somebody's not going to come through those doors with a gun and start shooting the place up. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're in the right church and listen to the right man of God preach from the right Bible, you are in a place. You couldn't be any safer than you are, so far as God's concerned, when you're in the house of God. Did you know that your prayer closet is a place of safety? I mean, if you take time to get along with God, every morning I get up, sometimes around somewhere between 5 and 6 every morning, I get up, spend the first hour and a half in prayer and reading my Bible. Now, Mrs. Burwell, fortunately for me, because you like to be alone when you do this, and fortunately for me, she doesn't get up till the crack of noon. And no, I'm teasing you. But I take time. Let me tell you something. That's a wonderful place of safety that God has given to us, getting in our prayer closet, praying and spending time with God. Did you know this Word of God's a place of safety? You open your Bible and you get alone with God and God speaks to you and you get to talk to God. It's a place of safety. I'd say this, I thank God tonight that I live in America, because I believe America is a place of safety. Now you say, well, preacher, it's not very safe in America today. And I know it's not. I will tell you this, may not be the greatest place in the world, but I'll tell you this, it's the best thing that in all of this world that we have. There's no country any greater other than Israel, no country any greater than America. And listen, you can be here tonight. You can hear the Word of God tonight. We can be free to go home and free to go to work. I'm saying America's a place of safety. God said, if you'll serve me and you'll trust me, I'll give you places, cities of safety. He said not only that, I'll give you houses full of good things that you didn't fill. We have food tonight. I've never seen so much candy in my... The candy store doesn't have as much candy as that here today. There was candy everywhere today. We've got food to eat. May not be steak, but we've got food to eat. And I'll tell you, I've been praying for the kids and the people around the world. Ms. Burwell and I have been praying often now for the people around the world who are in garbage cans looking for something to eat. Children sleeping under trees and sleeping out in the open and nothing to eat. People who travel, walk for several miles to some little dispensary where they can get a cup of rye. Hey, listen, folk. We have been blessed of God. By the way, they've been blessed of God too. Listen, you know what? I can't explain everything that's going on in the world. I can't explain why God's allowing some people to starve to death. I can't understand why God does what He does. But I've got enough confidence in God to know that what God does is right. It's always right. And let me tell you something, God does have an answer to all of it, and that is the rapture of the church. And when Jesus comes, buddy, we're out of here, and every problem that everybody has anywhere in this world will be solved that day. You know what? We're less than 5% of this world. Less than 5%. There are a lot of people out there, and they're hungry and they're hurting. God has been good. He's given us clothes to wear, shoes to wear. He's given us a car or a cab or a bus or some way to get where we've got to go. He's given us a place to live. May not be a house. Maybe it's a townhouse. Maybe it's an apartment. Maybe it's a trailer. But God's given us some place we can lay our head down. He's given us a health and freedom. I'm just saying this. God said, you know what? Don't ever forget to thank me for the tangible blessings that I've given in your life. Places of safety, houses full of good things, tangible things, and wells of water. He said, wells that you didn't dig. Wells of water in the Bible speaks of spiritual refreshment. Do you know what the Lord said? Paul said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You know what the Bible teaches about spiritual blessings? That God's grace is sufficient for you. I think about somebody that we've been praying for. The husband was just killed. I forget, a car accident or whatever. Lady left behind with 5 little children. How tragic that is. But do you understand? God has grace sufficient. That's why the Bible says when somebody passes away and we're saved, the Bible says, we sorrow not as others sorrow, which have no hope. You know what? We have the grace of God. God said, you live for me and serve me. And he said, my grace will be sufficient for you. And then vineyards that you didn't plant. He said, tangible blessings. That speaks of the joy and celebration. God is telling us, beware, lest when you have enjoyed and you have eaten and you have taken of the spiritual blessings that I have for you, beware lest you forget the God who gave them to you. So he said, don't forget to thank God for your spiritual blessings. He said, don't forget to thank God for your tangible blessings. And last of all, he said this, and I want you to listen carefully to my last point. He said, don't forget to thank God for people he has brought into your life for your good. Amen. Let me tell you, God orchestrates it all. Things that we think just are happenstance are things that God orchestrated in your life because you're his child. I want you to look at one verse of Scripture and we're going to be done. I want you to listen carefully and I want you to think about this. Look at verse number 10, if you will, and I'll read it to you. Verse number 10, he says, and it shall be, so it's going to happen, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which he sware unto you. Now don't miss this. He's going to bring you to the land that he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. He said to that generation, I'm going to give you the cities you haven't built. I'm going to give you the olive trees you didn't plant. I'm going to give you all of these things that you had nothing. I'm going to give them to you. But he said, I'm going to give them to you because I promised them to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to your fathers, and you were in their families. They were involved in your life. And so he said, I'm going to be able to bless you because of those men, those families that were in your life. Now listen to me. God was saying, don't forget to thank him for the good people that he has put in your life, that have played a part in your life, that have helped you to be what you need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I'm going to bless you because I made a promise to your fathers, and I put your fathers into your lives to help you become what you need to be. Let me just tell you, there are people all over this room tonight that if it weren't for this man right here and for his wife and their work, we're one flesh in Christ when we're married. By the way, preacher will tell you this, and I know this is true. Brother, let me tell you, I'd hate to see what some preachers are if they didn't have a wife to help them. A wife that's right with God and loves God and wants to be the helpmeet God called her to be. Now, I'm going to tell you what, a lot of preachers, and I'm not saying this about you, but I'll say it about me and my wife, a lot of preachers' wives make the preacher look good. I'll tell you for sure. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to tell you that he said, I put your fathers in your lives to help you to become what you need to be. And because you were influenced by them to live for me, now I can bless you. Hey, listen to me. You're only blessed tonight God can only use you tonight. You're only where you are tonight because of people all down through your life that God brought into your life to help influence you and help you to become what you need to be for God. I'm not talking about it takes a village. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? Yeah, it doesn't take a village to help you raise your kids. You raise your kids yourself and leave the village out. You just bring God in, you don't need a village. But I'm telling you something, when it comes to the Christian life, you are only where you are because God brought people into your life. Look, I told you, I'm a nobody. I know I'm a nobody. Everywhere I go, I try to tell every place I preach, Cliff Burwell knows he's a nobody. I don't remember half of what preacher said a little while ago about this happened when he was in our church and this happened and that happened and something else happened. But I will tell you this. He's a product not just of our church, but he's a product of people that have been brought into his life. And by the way, bring the wrong people into your life and you won't be a fundamental preacher. You'll be a liberal preacher. But God said, I got some good people I want to bring in your life, and you ought to thank God every day of your life for everybody God's brought into your life that has helped you even a little bit become what you ought to be. I'm going to say this and I'm finished. I thank God for my kids. God gave me and Miss Burwell 4 children. And I've said this often when I go preach. May have said it here. When my oldest daughter went off to college, Mrs. Burwell sat and cried. And then her name was Crystal. And then my next oldest daughter went off to college. Her name was Tammy. And Miss Burwell cried when she went out the door. She just cried. And then my son, Brent, next oldest, went off to college. And Mrs. Burwell cried. And then my youngest daughter, Miss Amber, went off to college. Miss Burwell cried. And now, anytime any of them come back home, I cry. But she cried when they left. I thank God for my kids. By the way, you say, yeah, well, if you had my son, you wouldn't be thanking God. You know what? You ought to thank God for him just because he's your son. Just because she's your daughter. I thank God for my wife. If it weren't for her making a Sunday too big, I wouldn't be saved today probably. I thank God for Mrs. Burwell. I thank God for hundreds of Christians down through all these 50, 60 years that God brought into my life to influence my life, try to help me become something for the Lord. I thank God for my old preacher, my first preacher. That when I went down to the church to get saved, didn't know I was going to get saved. First preacher I ever knew in my life. I didn't care about preachers, God, or anything else. Why should I care about preachers or church? I was Catholic. Can I say that without getting in trouble? I didn't care about church. But that old preacher, because of that old preacher, the little preacher, the old red-headed preacher, because of him and his influence in my life, I got saved. I would probably not be a fundamentalist today. I probably wouldn't believe like I believe today if it weren't for that preacher taking me under his wing and trying to help me. By the way, don't ever get mad at the preacher when he tells you, hey, you don't need to do it that way or whatever. Right. He's just trying to help you to become what you need to be, right, so you can then help somebody else who needs to learn how to be what they can be. My preacher, I called him up on the phone. I'd gotten saved that day. And a few days later, I called him on the phone. I said, hi, Pastor. And he said his name was Pastor John Macon. I said, Preacher... He said, yeah, Cliff, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I said, I just wanted to call you because I want to do right. Just wanted to call you and tell you that 2 or 3 of my friends are going to go over to one of my buddies' house and we're going to shoot pool. He's got a pool table and I want to go and shoot pool. And he said to me, you don't need to do that. And I said, well, preacher, these are good guys. They're not saved, but they're good guys and all we're going to do is shoot pool. He said, you don't need to do that. I said, but preacher, and I heard click, and we got disconnected. So I called him back. I said, preacher, we got disconnected. He said, we didn't get disconnected. I hung up on you. I said, why? He said, you weren't listening to what I was telling you. I said, well, preacher, the only thing I was trying to explain was, click, hung up on me again. And he said, I called him back, and I said, preacher, did you hang up on me again? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, because, Cliff, if you want to be helped, I want to help you. But if you're not going to listen and do what I tell you to do, I don't have time to waste on you. You know what? I didn't like that, but I like it tonight. I like it tonight. God put him, and listen, and you will understand this, preacher. He said to me one day, after I'd been saved for a while, he said, I heard about a preacher out in Hammond, Indiana. Got like 5,000 people in his church. He said, they have what they call a pastor school. He said, I'd like to go there. Would you like to go with me? I said, sure I would. Now, you want to know how dumb I am? You ready for this? We went to pastor school about 5 days after I got married. How stupid is that? I went with him to pastor school. I met Dr. Jack Hiles. I don't know about you. I don't know how much you know about Jack. But I'll tell you what. When I left that place, preacher, that after going to pastor school, my life was changed forever in the direction of fundamentalism and doing what God says to do and sticking with an old-time Bible and going soul winning and doing what God wants us to do. I thank God for Jack Hiles' influence in my life. I thank God for my kids. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my old preacher. And I want to say to you tonight, by way of closing out the message, I'd like to ask you a question. Who even in this room should you be thanking God for because they've been a blessing, an encouragement, and a help in your life? Folk, the greatest mistake Lighthouse Baptist Church will make as they move into the future will be the mistake of not thanking God sincerely, greatly, for what he's done in these years, because he's the one that's done it. Okay, preacher, what should the invitation look like? Here's what it ought to look like. If I were you this morning and I was saved and I was thankful for this church, I would be down the aisle saying, God, let me start. This is the last service before you start now. Leave this 22 years. God, please help me to serve you and to be thankful for all you have done in my life. I don't mean a casual thank you. I mean come down to the altar and do some business with God. Now, here's the only difference. You get up. By the way, I believe every person in this church, if you're saved and this is your church, ought to be down the aisle tonight, thanking God for what he's done in these past 22 years. But I think the invitation will be a little different tonight. I think you ought to get up and head down the aisle. But before you get here, I think you ought to find that person or those people in this church. Now, I don't believe, forgive me, I'm old-fashioned. I don't believe in men hugging women unless they're your wife. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd find whoever it is that's been a help and a blessing in my life even a little bit. And before I made my way to the altar, I'd go by and say, Brother Ray, thank you for your testimony, for what you have meant in my life, or whoever it is tonight. You ought to find that person or find those people and thank them for what they've done and how God has used them in your life. And there's everybody here probably should be down the aisle saying, preacher, thank you. Because this man spends his life. He lives and dies for you guys. I said to him today, I said, preacher, you know what the people don't understand? Not, I wasn't talking about you. I'm talking about in general what churches. I said, you know what they don't understand? You say something hard and they get a little upset. Or you say something that crosses what they want to do and they get a little upset. But I said, what they don't realize is that you spend your life, a pastor spends his life, if he's the right kind of a preacher, he spends his life taking a chance and saying things and trying to take a stand because he loves you and wants you to have the very best God has to offer. And so that's the reason he does it. Find that person tonight that you ought to thank God for. Maybe you need to find a Sunday school teacher. Find another teenager that maybe got you in church. Thank them for what they've done. Thank them for being a part of your life. And then make your way to the altar and thank God tonight. God, I'm not going to enter into the next 22 years till I tell you how much and how thankful I am for what you have done for me. That ought to be the invitation. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. I pray you'd speak to hearts. This is not a game. It's not a joke. It's not some form of worship. Dear God, this is we human beings that have been saved by the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, needing to thank you for what you have done in our lives. And to let people know that we're thankful for them because, God, you use them to help me to be what I ought to be. Speak to hearts. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple quick questions. Number one, I wonder who could sincerely, I don't want you to raise your hand just to raise your hand. I wonder who could sincerely say tonight, I am thankful for how good God has been in my life. If you're like that, could you slip your hand up all over the house? God bless you. I wonder who could slip their hand up and say, Pastor, there are people in this church that have been a blessing, an encouragement, an example, whatever it is in my life, and have helped me to become what I need to be for the Lord. If you can think of somebody, would you slip your hand up real quick? Somebody in this church even. God bless you. A lot of people. You know why? Because you can't have a church this size with a pastor that you like you have and not have helped each other along the way. Won't you find that person tonight and just say, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. And then when you're done, you make your way to the altar. And let's thank the one who's responsible for all of it, the Lord Jesus Christ. The biggest mistake you'll make is to enter the next few years without first stopping and giving God the glory and thanks that he deserves. Father, again, I pray you'll bless in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand together, if you will. Pastor. God spoke to your heart, you need to come. Worthy of our thanks, he's worthy of our praise. You need to come. Thank God for what he's done here. Thank God for the years that you've been here and the ministry that God has done in your life. And find that person that you need to say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for letting God use me, use you in my life. Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Teenager, how about it? What's God done in your life? Who do you need to thank? You need to let somebody know God has used them in your life. What a great God we serve. What a wonderful God. How good God is. Preacher, I just want to tell you I love you. Thank you.
retell the stories. It's repetitive. I've told that before. It's all right. Just keep telling them. Keep reminding yourself of what God did and how he saved you and how he used somebody and how, you know, maybe God prevented you from going this place, or someone entered in and helped you. They paid a bill. Someone, you know, I tell those stories all the time, not just because, you know, I like to hear myself talk, but I'm also trying to rehearse. You don't want to become forgetful, right? You get full. God's been good. He's answered prayers. You've got this, and boy, you can make it. You got a little money in the bank. You know how to get to the gas station. You know how to do that. That's good. That's God's blessings. It's wonderful. He wants you to have that. But beware. Beware that you don't become forgetful. And hey, when you get, how do you get to where it is? Some of you have been saved. Some of you have been sober. You haven't had a cigarette in, you know, 10 years. You haven't, whatever that is. I'm not trying to re-preach the message, but I am trying to just put an exclamation on the, hey, don't forget. Keep telling the, reminding yourself and be thankful and get gratitude. What a great truth that was given to us tonight. I'm saying timely. And get 22 years in. That's wonderful. That's all the win. That's all the win, what God's done. Well over a million given in missions and all the things that we celebrate, the win. But then beware. Some of us are doing pretty good. God's been real good to us. Who'd ever thought we'd have this and we'd have made it this far? And man, we have all this stuff. Then beware. Then beware, right? We're begging God. But, you know, we need to still be begging God and praying and dependent upon the Lord. When I started the church, I couldn't sleep at night. I'd roll out of bed. Oh, God, please, don't let it stop. Help me. Okay. But, you know, I've been doing it for a while, and sometimes I don't roll out. I still roll out of bed, and up, but that's over other problems. but you understand what I'm saying, because, you know, I got this. I use the illustration all the time, the funerals. I've done so many funerals. They come natural almost. But you know what? When I used to lay out and begging God to help me with this funeral, I still need that same. I don't need God any less now than I did then. But I forget. And you'll forget too. And so let's not do that, right? Let's keep going with it and just be excited on it, man. Thank the Lord. Brother Berwager, why don't you come, if you would, dismiss us in prayer tonight. Girls, you did a... I'm going to give some announcements. Yeah. All right, so we got Cupcake. You come on up. Come on up and keep coming. Keep coming. We've got some cupcakes and some waters down in the east lobby. So you go out, make a right down to the main lobby, the east lobby down there. We have cupcakes for you, some waters down there. You can get it. You can eat your cupcake if you want to be. That's cake in a cup. All right. We literally, that's what we're going to have for you. Don't bring the cupcake back in the auditorium. Okay. I found out there's some sprinkles on those cupcakes. I don't know who put sprinkles on them. But, you know, 28 years of marriage, they ought to know better than they have sprinkles put on cupcakes, all right? It's all I'm just telling you, okay? So don't bring the cupcakes in the auditorium, all right? But you can eat them, take them home, whatever you want to do with it. It's a little bit of like birthday cake for the church for you. We've had nothing but cake, candy, donuts. I mean, it's been a pretty chocolatey day today, all right? But get that for you. Girls, y'all did a great job tonight. Thank you so much. Boys, you did a good job getting the stands out of here. Man, you really proved yourself beneficial tonight. I appreciate that. AC did a great job getting to the door, holding it open, and closing it. It's perfect, man. There was a little doubt about maybe that could be pulled off or not, but you did great. Okay, I'm proud of you, and I appreciate it. And good to see them sing again and all of that, so we thank the Lord for that. All right, well, listen, Brother Berwager will dismiss us. You can get your cake and whatnot. Y'all will go do your job, and then you can eat after, all right? Okay, and then I'm just saying, okay? Let's not get carried away, all right? And Brother Berwager, pray and dismiss us. We love you.
Father, we do stand in awe of what you've done for us in the past 22 years, Lord, the history, your history. And, Lord, we're just asking you for 22 more years of, Lord, just your hand upon us, Lord, that we would follow in your steps. And, Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Lord, give us a good week as we go. Be with Brother Dave. Lord, just be your hand be upon him. Watch over him. In Jesus' name, amen.